Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And we're tired of your excuses, Marler. Why the hell are you so late? Welcome to the show, Marler Hour.
It's 2:30 on a Monday, so I was working. But I'm happy to be here.
You're supposed to be here at 2.
I know, I was. It was a wild day, but we're here. We have plenty to talk about. I'm going to wipe my glasses off.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you this.
Oh, we're enemies this week.
Yeah, of course. Well, we're enemies every week. But Ty Simpson, I keep hearing him get compared to Joe Burrow, and that offends me. Does that offend you at all?
Who's doing that?
Well, lately I've seen Peter Burns, and I like his work, but I don't like that.
I don't like that at all. I don't like it. I'll talk to Peter about that.
Get on him.
No, that's weird. That's a very weird. He's been really good. I don't think he's been that level of good. That seems weird, right? Like that's way.
I think Joe Burrow's is the praised. Joe Burrow's best single season quarterback I've ever seen.
Him and Cam. I think Cam is probably better. Just because Cam had nothing around him. But yeah, Ty has.
That sounds like an Auburn excuse.
Round of applause for Mike Bratton, guys.
Oh, hey, well, let's start there. What about the clapper? How's old, can he, it's like that meme. How do we can't let you keep getting away with this shit here, Kirby. I did nothing but praise him. I think you go on the road and you win these games that you probably don't deserve to win. That's the second time. No one gives a shit. All that matters is you win or lose. But how's he keep getting away with this, Marler?
I mean, that was wild. I think let's start by saying this. If you're Auburn, you have to respond better, and you cannot sit there and have this solely to blame on them. I also fully understand the frustration, and there's a lot of validity to why they're frustrated. You just have to respond better. I mean, like they held them to 20 yards for like the first 20 to half minutes, and all of a sudden, and then that happens. I'm sorry. We're gonna do what we always do here, and I'm already distracted. Somebody said, I've seen Bama 10-0, number 2 in the country, and lose to Auburn. Yeah, but that was in 1989. That was in 1989 when Bill Curry was the coach. So. Yeah, I mean, if you want to rest on those laurels and sit there and think, yo, we're going to get them because it's spooky to play here. I tell you what, you were on the 1 foot line, which you already should have been able to push it in from the one, and you couldn't do it. Like this.
Hey, in fairness, Marler has problem pushing it in from the 1-inch line too.
Fairness, I knew as soon as I said push it in, I was in trouble. But no, I get it. I get where Auburn fans are coming from. I think it's very frustrating. And also, like, from the Kirby thing, fine. Let's say that he was talking about the player clapping or whatever. The issue I have is not with him being deceitful or not honest or whatever you want to say. Like, has nothing – yeah, it's very clear he was saying timeout. But my main point is, if you're an SEC official, the frustrating part is, okay, if you're going to say it's a fumble – I personally did not see a fumble until I thought the ball was over the goal line, mainly because it feels like impossible to not have crossed the goal line. But if you're going to say it didn't, I'm fine with that. But then you also have to say, if it's a fumble, Georgia returned it for a touchdown. So, like, you fucked up there. Then you have the other situation where it's like, okay, well, he's calling timeout. Well, like, it's either a timeout or it's a delay of game. And you called neither of those things. And that's where the frustration comes in, because it's like, listen, I think, again, Auburn should have not had a complete emotional breakdown. If anyone gets having an emotional breakdown, trust me, it's me. But you have to pick yourself back up and then, like, also figure out a way to, like just correct what's going wrong and stop the bleeding at some point. But, going back to the Georgia thing, it's like, I don't know how good Georgia is at this point, because they are constantly – they've seemed like they've escaped. And they could easily be 3-3, Mike. I don't think that's crazy at all. I think that the Auburn thing, you got to be frustrated. I also think it's time for Hugh to go, man.
Hugh's got to go, but who can stay is Steve it up. He's your Bama brother down here, Marler. Yeah. But he does got a question. Hey, Marler, I need a dime. Help a brother out. Can you help?
You need
him?
A dime, brother. Why don't you call Ty Simpson on 4th and 8?
Nice. <Woo! laughs> And we also appreciate Cousin Glenn. He's back. Marler, Glenn, sorry about your suitors, but he gifted to Alan D. Allen. Welcome to the family. And then we got Junior. Junior's feeling confident. No, probably not so much. He's probably confident that his Gator's going to have a new coach, which is something to celebrate. Shout out Junior. He gifted D-Pool. That's what we call Marler. D-Pool, welcome to the family. How you doing, D-Pool? Is it a good Monday for you? What did Brian Kelly say anything crazy today?
So I asked him, something's wrong with my camera. I'm not sure why it's not showing the normal camera.
Yeah, you look like you're in 1999 over there.
Is that better with the audio?
The audio's a little bit better, yeah.
All right, cool. I asked him, I said, hey, said, you have an 11 a.m. kick. For any of the LSU fans traveling to Nashville, any words of advice or words of wisdom or motivation to help get them ready for that game? And he looks directly at me and he goes, are you asking if what time I think they should start drinking? And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm asking. It was really funny. So no, he didn't say anything crazy. There's some injuries that are kind of banged up. I thought LSU had a good win. I think that, like, you know, 480 pizza and 720, dick. We're fine.
Any surprise that LSU is an underdog? And I know this
line is up to 2.5.
Yeah, I mean, I realize this is a new Vanderbilt, but it's still number 10 in the country, which I think they're massively overrated in that regard. But I'm kind of stunned by the fact that the Vegas line is Vanderbilt 2.5.
I mean, they're coming off a bye, but I mean, I don't know that what worries me about that is that feels like what that means is that Vegas is begging you to take LSU. And that's where I would be concerned is, I just got your text. I'm here. They're begging you to take LSU. Listen, here's the thing. I came away from that game on Saturday against South Carolina with a much different view than I think a lot of people did. There's a ton of mistakes that LSU made, right? Ton of mistakes. But like, if we're going to sit here and crucify LSU and Brian Kelly over what happened in the Florida game where it's like, well, you had 5 picks and you still only won by 10. Well, you turned the ball over twice on the 1 yard line. Couldn't push it in from an inch. And you're right. Right, Mike? Callback. So they had bricks during Marlon Monday is pretty good. That's a good question too. With the circle back to that Brandon McIver. But if you're going to crucify him for the 5 interception game against Florida where they only won by 10, then you also need to give him credit for the fact that, like, listen, the progress that was made, whether you think it was good or not or good enough, that's different because you had the most yards you've had in a game against a Power 4 opponent all season. You had the most passing yards in a game you've had against a Power 4 opponent all season. They were able to break off some runs late and get the run game going a lot better than they had at any point this season. Caden Durham still injured and banged up a little bit, but he looked better. And here's the thing, too. As much as it breaks my heart, South Carolina came into that game, and you have Matthew Fuller go for a 72-yard touchdown. Outside of that, what else did they do? Every time they got across
fake
the
punt. 50,
fake punt, dude. What
Beaver
the
ball.
He's right once again. They got fucked once again. But
what's,
like,
up with these refs?
Every time you get across the 50, they had 7 possessions where they got across the 50-yard line, and they only got 3 points with that. And it felt like every single time they got to the 40 or so, I jokingly said to my coworker in the booth or the press box, I was like, it's been a little bit too long since the false starts happened. Got to see one coming here. And then, of course, like 2 straight false start penalties and like intentional grounding. It was an ugly game, but I think there's a lot of positives to take away from LSU there.
Hey, and yeah, shout out. I want to give you some credit, man. You're moving on up in the world, up in the booth. Was that your first time doing that? And how about first time at LSU even?
No, so I got to do – I've been in the press box at LSU once for the Florida game. But they had me come on and do the pregame on LSU Radio Network, which is really cool. Dude, we joke around a lot. And
Moving on up, folks.
I got beat to shit by this comment section last Monday. So maybe it was God just looking out for me because he knew I needed to pick me up.
Or maybe you bribed someone there with a little dime bag.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, but no, I got to do Feinbaum last week. It was on SiriusXM, whatever. I got to tweak the LSU Alumni Association. It was a lot of fun. It was a good week. Do you want to talk about South Carolina? Because I see people in the comment section.
Yeah, shout out. Hold on here. We got I want to give this man Steven up. He shows up for us every damn show. So I want to give him some love. Me.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steven Up. He gifted Dylan Brixey. Dylan, welcome to the family. Courtesy of Steven Up. Yeah, and then you said we got some cock comments here. So
yeah.
Shout out Brandon MacGyver. We appreciate you, buddy. $10. Marler, can Beamer make Cocktober hard again? Looking pretty limp right now.
Okay, so here's the thing. I said this on the show last night on Locked On Gamecocks. I'm gonna self-promote.
Double dipping.
Here's what I will say and give my not despise my opinions.
Oklahoma is beatable. They can't run no damn.
They
football.
Are beatable, especially with Captain Hook, John Mateer only having one hand. that version of Captain Hook, Oklahoma is gettable. Here's the thing that I love to see. I am admittedly giving myself. Oh no, one. Are we frozen? No, good. I'm admittedly giving myself one more week of being delusional and believing in South Carolina.
They were 3-3
last year when this happened. They were 3-3 last year. They had a close loss on the road at Alabama, and they reeled off 6 straight wins. That team was better, and that team was different. But I think that Oklahoma game is winnable. I think that, I do also think, dude, if you don't win that one, you're looking at 4-8 or 5-7, and it's going to be because I don't see you beating A&M with the track record you've had against A&M. I don't see them beating Alabama necessarily, but that's a good spot for them because Bama's coming off the game against Tennessee, and then you get a bye week after this gauntlet they've gone on. Like, I mean, we didn't talk about it earlier, but I was amazed when I heard this stat, dude. Bama's only the 5th team in SEC history to win 3 straight games against top 25 SEC opponents in consecutive weeks. So wow. Now you get rewarded after winning all 3 of those. You get to play a number 11 ranked fucking Tennessee team that comes to town. If you get past that somehow, then you got to figure out a way to beat South Carolina. I think that Carolina can get it going. The 4.5-point spread is interesting because that's not what anybody probably thinks it should be. I like the spot for South Carolina. I am a little bit nervous about it, admittedly. Because I don't want this thing to go further sideways, but they did this last year, so I'm going to believe in it for one more week.
Needed a night game, though. I feel like that they got the screw job on that one.
Who's the night game instead?
Well, it looks like we got Auburn and Missouri.
Oh, for this game, yeah.
And Tennessee, Bama.
Well, Auburn, Bama. Missouri, brother.
They just bend over backwards to protect that damn Bama's.
They're playing your team, dumbass.
I know. It should be at 11 o'clock. That's what Bama gets when they have big-time road trips.
Is that what we're
shout
doing
out
now?
Gamecock Vinny! The Gamecocks is flaccid. Coach Teasley's gone. Shula next. Coach Elliott is now the offensive line coach. Offensive calls are horrible. Horrible!
Hold on. So I do want to say this, too, Gamecock Vinny, because I think you're spot on with so much of what you're saying here. Teasley being gone, we're not going to ever wish anyone to be unemployed besides Dan Wolken. That's the only person we're going to sit here and actually wish against his employment. But I'm glad Teasley's gone because I think it's the right move you had to make, and I was very worried that Beamer wasn't going to be able to make that move. Sean Elliott, I love to death. He is awesome. And speaking of Tennessee, you know, Sean Elliott, very, very familiar with playing against Tennessee. Beat him when he was in Knoxville for Georgia State a couple years back. But I think it's a good move. The play calling was better. It was better. And you were able to run the football effectively. Here's the issue, Gamecock Vinny, and I will try. I'm not on Locked On, so I don't have to calm myself down when I say it. The dumbest fucking play call I have seen all season. The dumbest fucking play call I've seen all season. 3rd and 9, you're down 7. You have to figure out a way to get a first to stay in this game. You're around like the 45 or 41 yard line. You run the ball to Faison for 5 yards to make it 4th and 4. Love that. Then you follow it up with a play where you have trips left and you have, I don't even know who the receiver was up to the right. It was either Jacobs or it might have been Rowe, but I think it was Jacobs.
Jacobs.
And you decide on 4th and 4. To run a solo dig route against the best quarterback in America, Mansoor Delane, and that's where you went with the football. That can't fucking happen. That's just so bad. That's so bad.
Hey, Brandon MacGyver says, make the Captain Hook shirts. He'll buy them.
You ever seen Hook?
Oh, yeah.
That was the scariest thing that I ever remember from my childhood. Besides that fucking creep from Dennis the Menace. Remember that guy eating the apple with the knife? Like, argh.
I do that every day at the park, just to reenact it.
Anyway.
Hey, we haven't talked at all about old Broklahoma here. I mean, you kind of did there, but man, did you see this coming with the arch renaissance here and Oklahoma looking flaccid once again? And I don't know why we're sticking on that, but Oklahoma could be careening into the damn ditch here in a minute.
Well, everyone that was an Oklahoma fan that was mad at me kept saying the same thing back to me or back like in the comments to me, which was, how come Oklahoma's not up here? How come John Mateer's not up here? How, like, blah, 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 blah. And what I kept saying to all those idiots was, hey, man, like you're a really good football team. You beat Auburn, which we probably put a little bit too much focus on. You beat Michigan, which we probably put a little bit too much focus on. And that was really frustrating. That everyone else is like, I mean, they barely beat Auburn, and then both those games were at home. But, like, it was weird that they trotted Mateer out there. I thought that was stupid. You could have – you walk away from that game if you lose 23-6 with Michael Hawkins, where you protect what a lot of people think is the best quarterback in America, and you protect him for another week, you feel okay. But now you're like, well, why did we do that? That was a complete fucking waste of time. One of the things I kept saying to Oklahoma fans about, like, not putting them in the CFP for bowl projections and whatever else, dude, like, they have to play, like, a bazillion ranked teams the rest of the season. Like, it's only going to get tougher. And the Texas game was at a neutral site. So what's going to happen when they go to South Carolina, LSU at home, at Bama? Like, who else? At Tennessee. Like, they have a gauntlet still in front of them. Ole Miss. I didn't even think about that. And Mizzou. Every single one of those games, you're not going to want to hear this, Oklahoma fans. Every single one of those games is a losable game for you. And, like, I don't think that'll happen, but I don't think 7-5 is off the table. I don't think that at all. Did you watch Missouri on Saturday and think significantly less of them after that performance?
I know Oklahoma fans did, because that's they despise him. But no, that's an excellent segue to that. I mean, that was probably the best game of the day, Chris. Bama beating Missouri on the road 27-24. Missouri came out red hot. Bama responded. And Alabama, I don't want to say dominated, but I think they controlled the vast majority of that game. We had the Ty Simpson fumble. Missouri scored there. Bo Prabula threw two bad picks. Missouri had a real opportunity to win this game. And it didn't quite play out the way I think any of them saw coming. That, you know, the narrative was their defense was going to let them down. And I think in reality, it was the offense that let them down.
Yeah, sometimes it's more fun when you don't see it coming. Just creates a surprise. But I would also say, I think the fact that Bama had the ball for 38 minutes and still had less yards is a pretty big indicator of how this game went. I will also tell you this, Mike. The moment that I get either rich enough to where losing my job doesn't matter or big enough to where I'm uncancelable, I will put a video, like a live stream of me watching the game. Because if you could have seen my reaction when Ty Simpson on, you had second and four with you're in full control of the game. It's 17-7 late in the second quarter. You have Jam Miller out in the flat. And instead of just dumping off to him, getting the first down, he tries to play hero ball across his body, throws the ball wide, and then on third and four, you take a sack. Then you have to – so now it's like third and 18 from the 50. You have to punt. You have a punt that goes 27 yards, and you have a five-yard penalty, and all of a sudden Missouri's right back into it. They make it 17-10. You fumble the opening snap. That game got dicey there for a minute with Alabama. And I tell you what, like, you saw it till the very end when Missouri was able to complete that long pass down the sideline. I thought Bo Prabula looked a little bit off. I wanted to sit here and say, like, it never felt like even on the first drive that they were really committed to Hardy being the guy, like kind of taking them to that win. They only had 12 carries for 52 yards. It's also kind of hard to get mad about that considering they only had the ball for like 21 minutes. I thought you could have been a little bit more committed to him in the run game than they were, though, either way. I'm not super worried about Missouri, man. I thought they played a good game, and anytime you go 1 of 10 on third down, you lose the turnover battle, I mean, think about how many missed opportunities they had. Bama had a ton. Bama had a ton of missed opportunities. And that game could have been put away in the first half, if we're being honest. But, like, on their first drive, Missouri dropped two interceptions. You know, they lost the turnover battle, like I said, and then you go 1 of 10 on third down. To have all those things happen, to hold the ball for basically a third of the game compared to two-thirds for Alabama, when that was, like, one of your strengths coming in, and you lose by three, I'm still impressed with Mizzou.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you who I'm impressed with, Marler. It ain't you. It's
Storm Chaser.
EJ, we appreciate you, buddy. Just gifted 5 memberships. Shout out Tyler Turnspeed, or Turnseed, excuse me, Volfan J, Desmond, Mad Mom 70, and N Mac. Welcome to the family, courtesy of old Storm Chaser Marler. Hey, we had a donation here from Chase. Shout out Chase.
Need that money.
Am I the only one worried about Bo on the road?
Hasn't How much money have you made so far in this episode? Mike, by the way, just so it gets a little peel behind the curtain, Mike is over here fucking texting me on Thursday nights going, guess how much money I just made on my show. You should try to do this. I'm like, bitch, I'm on your show.
Right. I'm trying to help you get there, but you're not listening.
By the way, did I tell you about my Twitter?
Hopefully it got banned again?
No. Oh. But I did finally monetize it, and they're back paying me for all of the...
Yeah, that's how it works, dummy. Yeah. Good job.
Pretty good day.
I think I told you to do this like 6 years ago. So you're welcome. You're getting money from 6 years ago.
And I'm excited. All right, back to the show. Chase Moore said what? I don't like Chase Moore right now.
Bo, he's worried about Bo on the road. Hasn't looked comfortable against good teams at home. Who am I kidding? We're going 11-1. So where are you at there? Are you concerned about Bo? And that's right where I wanted to go next. At Auburn, how huge is this game? Because I mean, Auburn may be dead. They may be over and done with. But it's kind of like a last stand for them. And I think Missouri, if they lose it, they're not eliminated from anything. But I think, God, I can't see them getting up off the mat with A&M coming up at Vanderbilt, at Oklahoma. I mean, it feels like a must win for both of them.
You know, here's the thing. The idea that you're worried about Bo Pribula on the road, I can't even wrap my fucking head around it because it's October and they haven't had a road game.
Well, I think that's what he's saying is like, he hasn't proven it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I'm still a big believer in him. I thought what was interesting too, though, was like, maybe I'm wrong and I'm misremembering the box score here, but outside of the first drive, I don't remember Norfleet getting involved a whole bunch. That's a really good secondary from Bama. But also, like, you didn't have a ton of involvement there. You didn't have a situation where Coleman had one catch for 2 yards. I mean, so I think that you have to go and figure out a way where you're not, like, forcing the ball to Coleman or Norfleet. But, like, those are two very big mismatches. And I think that you have to figure out a way to feed, like, your best player. We saw it last year with Luther Burden and the year before where it's like, hey, you got through a couple games, and it's great that you have other guys that are able to get you, like Theo Weiss, that are able to like carry the load here, but this is like your best receiver. I'm not comparing him to Coleman to Luther Burden, but he is your best receiver, so give him the ball.
Yeah, Marler can help you unburden that load, but I think the problem is he's not hitting open. I mean, the coaches are scheming up open receivers. He's not seeing them, and he's throwing it where he shouldn't. Now, it's just one game, but it was a pretty big game, and had he seen Marquise Johnson over there doing somersaults, calling for the ball, you know, who knows how the game turns out? You know what? I think that's an issue.
You also had you had the kind of the emergence of him or the freshman receiver that they caught that big fourth down pass on the sideline. So, you know, right. I think that is that's a positive as well. I know somebody just said. Government slave said, Marler, you need to go from being the South Carolina representative. That's probably not going to happen. But I do respect your opinion given that name. So thank you for that.
And I appreciate Brandon McIver. He gifted a membership to Kenneth Weiss. Kenneth, welcome to this crazy ass family.
Yeah, for real.
What about Bama though? How are they going to use Caden Proctor next? Ryan Williams was basically a decoy. It felt like you referenced all their whipping ass multiple weeks in a row, and then they're going to get their ass stomped here on Saturday. So probably. The streak's probably going to end. But and how about this logo? Whoa, I know it's tiny on here. Third Saturday in October, it's got an official logo. I don't know why or the point of that, but. I thought it was worth
on that. I don't like the fact that Tennessee's on the right hand side of that for some reason. I don't know why. Well, I just don't like it, Matt.
Mike, and maybe you could. Yeah, it's Matt. That's my birth name. But why is it? Do you think? And I know this got nothing to do with it, but does it piss you off as a Bama guy? Because it pisses me off that the Southeastern Conference will not allow both these teams to wear their home jerseys.
Oh, they need to do that. They need that. That is like. They should have gone back to that a while ago. That is one thing I would. And I don't love orange, but I would love to see that.
Why are we destroying or moving away from things that make it special? You know what I mean? Yeah. And I know that's like a small thing, but I don't know. Well, I think it's important.
If they did it, well, they I don't remember the last time they did it. I mean, it had to be the 80s, right?
I'll look it up while you. You some Bama love.
I feel like I'm pretty sure they were in white in 92. That game was in the 92 game was in Knoxville, but I can't remember. I remember Prince Wembley had an interception or something, some big thing. I don't know. Anyway, I will say that usually if it makes sense and it's something that people want as like a unanimous like whole, they will go out of their way to make sure that doesn't happen. So that part. It's probably why they didn't do it. I think that also, like, you have clearly made the decision that you're trying to force this into being something that is really important for the SEC, because it's one of the reasons why you're doing the crossover stuff, or the not crossover because it's not divisions anymore, but like when you're talking about the annual permanent rivals, this was right. Like one of the main two ones they had to make sure you weren't going to lose, right? It was this, and then it was like Georgia Auburn or Georgia Florida. So if that's the case and you're putting that much emphasis and importance on it, then yeah, I don't know why you would also put some like barriers and like bumpers on that as well, or guardrails on that as well. So I think that this game in particular, I'm not going to sit here and try to break it down yet because it's way too early. I was shocked that Bama was an 8.5-point favorite, and that number's already climbed to 9.5. That's a really good team, man. It's a really good team they're going to have to go up against. But there are reasons to believe that that Tennessee is very beatable based on what we've seen the past couple weeks. I think the biggest concern is, dude, Bama's coming off just like that. That's it. Three games like that in a row is not easy to get back up for a fourth game like that.
Hey, shout out Gregory Grogan. He's been a member for 7 months. He left Faurot Field still optimistic. We still have everything in front of us, and Bo needs to Johnson, who had neon. Yeah, Marquise Johnson, neon signs that said open. I agree. It's not over. But you got to win. How about old Hugh? Who got more nervous, Chris, when James Franklin got fired? Hugh Freeze or Billy Napier?
Dude, Billy Napier. I'm in the middle right now of making a graphic.
I can tell you're doing it live on the air.
Well, I got to work still. I can't get in trouble with my boss. I think that Franklin to Florida makes just too much sense. It makes too much sense. I can't see him really wanting to go to Auburn. I don't know why he would. He doesn't seem like a person that would like really buy into the Auburn culture. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Who knows what happens? I will guarantee you they will give him a call if that does if that job comes open. But but I think that also I think that him going to Florida makes so much more sense, because what Florida has to do now is this. That administration seems to be the only one that doesn't get it, what all the fans get, which is like, you don't need a guy that's like an upstart kid that you're giving like a first time Power Four job to, or a first time coach, or a former coordinator that you're promoting. And like, you need a proven coach, and they don't have the luxury of going into the situation they did with like McElwain and fucking Muschamp, where it's like, well, you know, like Georgia's down historically. Tennessee is down extra historically. Like, we have a little bit of wiggle room here. Both of those two teams are at the highest they've ever been. Oh, by the way, the conference somehow got even deeper with Oklahoma and Texas. Like, you need to win and win now. And you also need somebody that is going to be able to be good enough to like get you to that level and it's not Billy Napier, as much as I hate to say it, and it's probably not going to be another, it's probably not going to be Summerall from Tulane. Like, I think that's a good decision to go out and hire James Strickland. And I tell you what, if you're a Florida fan saying, well, he can't win the big ones, well, neither are you. So, like I don't think that's a huge concern or where your concern should be.
Yeah, yeah. But you think he'd be an attractive candidate for any SEC opening?
Yeah, 1,000%. I think it makes almost too much sense. I was surprised that the odds came out and Vandy was second on the list for those odds. I think that's pretty disrespectful to what do you call it?
The victims.
And I know. I see a lot of people saying this thing about Kurt Cignetti and him going to Florida. I don't know who needs to hear this. I'm not saying that that's a better job at Indiana. You can win more at Indiana than Florida. And I don't see the appeal for him leaving a situation where he took 0 years to get to the College Football Playoff and then leaving to go to Florida and fight that uphill battle. There's no reason for him to do that.
Well, Florida Fans Junior here. Which team quits on their lame duck coach first? Or is that lesson now with NIL? That's another thing, Chris. I think, you know, it's the assumption when Sam Pittman got fired, it's like, oh, these players are going to enter the portal, they're going to quit. All their NIL is tied to them to keep playing.
Right.
And there's no portal for them to go into right now. And they've even changed the rules. We'll probably address this at some point, but for anybody that doesn't know, like Penn State, they just fired their coach, right? The portal is not open for their players. They've recently changed that. So the portal does not open until you hire the next coach 5 days after to give them an opportunity to meet with the new head coach. So, I don't know that quitting on the coach, at least in this conference with all the money being thrown around, I don't know that that's a real thing anymore.
No, I think the bigger concern is the boosters quitting on the coach in terms of promising NIL dollars. And I think that's where you're going to have this now. Like in the past, you could have these veiled threats of like boosters be like, well, I'm not going to donate this year. And it's like, okay, like what is that going to cost us if you don't donate? Like we're still going to have millions and millions of dollars that are coming in. We would love for you to do it, but ultimately like we'll take away your status and we'll take away this and we'll take away that. Like that's fine. But now you're talking about in an annual and maybe even more than once a year, like conversation with some of your biggest boosters of like, hey, we need this much money for NIL to go get this person. Because listen, those conversations aren't fun. Like asking for money is never fun. Trust me, I know, Mike. But like asking for money is never fun. These idiots going out here and being like, hey, we need money for this. We want like it used to be that it was the arms race that you had to ask for money for. Like we're trying to build up the locker room, then we want to build this. We got to keep up with A&M and Bama and LSU and Oregon. And then it's like, okay, you have that, but now you need to also go out and get recruits and keep up with them even more, which like there's definitely tiers of that. And you're not, if you're Auburn, you're not in that right now. Florida's especially not. And then the last part of it too is I think like figuring out like the buyout solution, because now you're coming up and saying, if you're not going to get help from a booster, if a booster tells you that they're not going to pay for this anymore, then you also still probably have to go back to that person and be like, hey, we need help with the buyout. Like that is how this stuff like plays out all the time. And I've said this over and over, there's money's not real in college football and especially the SEC, but like it's about to get a little bit more tricky in how to do stuff like this because of how big the numbers are becoming.
Have you already bought your cigar for this weekend? Steven Upp's wanting to know.
I'm going to Don Juan Cigar Company on Friday. I think I should be on with my boss, Matt Escoda, once again. I do love a Cohiba. I'm not sure what I'm getting yet, but I'm gonna get one just in case, and I'm hoping I get to smoke it.
You should get one. Shout out Johnny Delgado, gave us a donation. Man, these Carolina fans, some of them are nuts here. And shout out Johnny. The only good thing about waking up today as a Gamecock fan is we're one day closer to Beamer. Get the hell out of here. I'm rooting against us. I don't want him to be right. The annual "you can't fire me" game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with that.
I mean, Beamer's not a bad coach, is he?
No, and I get the frustration though. I really do. But I will also remind South Carolina fans of this, and I hope they take it in the correct way, and not like in a bad way. But like, dude, where was the program before Spurrier? Where was the program for the first several years of Spurrier? Like, do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so now you're in a situation where, and like, I remember looking at this last year from a standpoint of like Brad Crawford posted this from 247 Sports. They were talking about, who was it? South Carolina, like their facilities versus like where they rank in like in the country, and they were 10th. So your top 10 facilities in the country, which is a massive deal and a massive selling point to student athletes. You also are in a situation where you have the highest ranked recruiting class that you've had in at least 9 or 10 years that you currently have, and you're still trying to fill that class out. Getting rid of Beamer to bring in who? Like to bring in who? I don't know.
Everybody's hired Kirk Cignetti.
What South Carolina fans need to be concerned about a little bit here is that like, and this was reported on from I think like 247 or either on three in that Gamecock site was sources close to Beamer have said like he has no intention of leaving and that's not going to change. But if the idea and the conversations and the attitude towards him start becoming more and more like he needs to go, do you not think that the first thing he would do as somebody that is like believes in what he's doing, loves what he does, but also knows where he comes from, he will pick up the phone call from Virginia Tech immediately. Don't fucking sit here and play with fire and sit here and think like we should push him out because he's having a bad year. And then instead with that schedule and then sit here and be like, oh my God, we don't have a fucking coach. Like, not
I think real, I mean, I, again, I'm just spitballing here, but I think realistically, you know, a candidate they would land if Beamer left would be like a Dan Mullen, who I think is a really good coach, but is that like a slam dunk? He's held. I'm pretty sure Beamer whooped his ass a time or two. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's like a massive upgrade flying into South Carolina immediately.
I love Shane Beamer.
Is that fair?
I love Shane Beamer. No, I think it's very fair. I love Shane Beamer. I would love Dan Mullen. I think I would get excited about that hire as well.
I'm saying, I think he's a good coach. And I think he should be like the next Kentucky coach or something.
Well, I mean, there are things to say, I think, that are fair this year where it's like where would this team be if they had a coach that was like Dan Mullen in comparison to Beamer? Because, I mean, I think he would figure out a way to scheme some stuff open, and they are really struggling with that offensively right now. But Beamer is the guy. Like to suggest that he should leave after what he did last year and where the – like, listen – take off the blinders and the anger from right now. Where's the program at in comparison to where it was? Like right now, where's the program at? It's in the most stable and best position.
It is. Hey, speaking of that, one team we haven't even hit on here. How about A&M? Are they the best team in the SEC? That's up for debate. They whooped Florida's ass after Florida whooped Texas. So Aggies cruising to 6-0. But now we're going to find out for real. And I said this, Chris. And they're jumping all over my ass. It's funny, you can't say one negative thing and people go,
oh,
anxious.
Yeah, who are you telling, dude?
But I said, I don't think there's any shot in hell A&M is going to win the next three at Arkansas, at LSU, at Missouri. This league is just, hell, that's all the damn coaches are telling you the same damn thing. It's like week in, week out. This is a damn grind going on the road three consecutive times. I'm not saying they're going to lose them all. But I don't give them much at any, if any, shot to win them all. What's your thoughts on A&M and that take?
I love how in the process of you saying shit about A&M, somebody, Reese Baird said, Chris is an Aggie hater to his core. Brother.
You didn't even say anything.
I can't begin to tell you how little I think about Texas A&M. Whoop. Woo, all that bullshit. No, I don't do any of that.
Time out.
I wanted to fucking go sit around with my favorite guy friends and join arms and sway back and forth and sing along, I would go to my fucking fifth grade summer camp. How about that? I think that A&M, I think they are right now the best team in the conference. Here's the thing, man. The offense I think is really good. And with Craver and Concepcion, it's good to see, like, for lack of better way to phrase this, like proof of purchase. Like they went into the portal and they got two guys that were like, they weren't the number one and two ranked receivers. Like that was the kid that went to Auburn. And then you had some of the guys at LSU got, like, but they went ahead and got, they went ahead and got those two guys, which I think Craver or was it Concepcion, who was pretty close, I think, to pulling the trigger to go to Bama. And then he ends up going to A&M. And it's worked out really well. Marcel Reed, whether you think he is a good enough passer or not, and blah, 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 doesn't fucking matter, okay? Because here's the thing about Marcel Reed. Every single game, he's going to go out, he's going to put up 270 yards of offense, and he's going to score three touchdowns or two touchdowns, but at least multiple touchdowns, and maybe throw an interception. But he is going to put you in good situations. And now he has progressed enough as a player in year two that the defense, which was lagging behind in the first three games, is in a situation. That's so good. Looks gay when I do it. That's the best insult anyone's ever had on the show. I like the way it's like you do it, but it's way gayer when you do it. That's an incredible insult.
On a scale from 0 to 100, likelihood they go 3-0 in this three game stretch.
Ooh. Well, they get a bye week for Missouri.
Right.
Missouri gets a bye week for that game too, so that's interesting.
They do.
If they beat LSU, I think they will. I would put it at 60%. That's a tough question because I believe in A&M.
I think that's way too high.
The way that they're doing the way they have been with this defense over the past couple weeks is like, I mean, what you've allowed two of 32 on third downs to opponents, like that's insane. Like so,
two of 33, even better.
A lot of corrections to make on some internet things I wrote. I think that they have finally started turning the corner, which is good with Elko as a defensive coordinator. Where you would want to be if you're A&M is you would rather be lagging on that side because that's where you feel like your head coach probably is going to make his hay anyway. So I like where A&M's at. Schedule's not easy, but I would be shocked if they don't make the playoff at this point, man. Here's a better question, okay? Who's gayer? Me?
You.
Or maybe 3 years ago? No, here's a question, though. What do you think the percentage odds are them going 2-1? Because that's what they really need to do.
Yeah, no, I think that's realistic. 2-1, the odds will go 2-1 in that stretch. Ooh, I mean, even that's tough. But I'll give them... Seventy percent.
I think it's higher than that. But here's the thing: they need to go 2-1 and 2-1. And I love South Carolina, even though the slave guy from earlier doesn't like me. South Carolina is really they struggle a lot when they go to College Station.
That I mean, hey, like true or false? You're down there, right? This is the biggest home game for LSU.
That place is going to be fucking nuts.
That's not going to be easy. And now, now that Missouri lost to Alabama, their playoff lives potentially on the line at Missouri.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
Bobby P rides again, brother. Come on. Yeah, none of these are easy.
No, I agree. But I do think that A&M, I think that they have the best chance. Well, pull up Ole Miss's schedule real quick.
Okay.
LSU does not have an offense. Okay. I mean, like, hold on. Here's one thing I will say about A&M, and I'm going to say this as nicely as possible. Okay, so hold on real quick with Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss has the easiest path to get to the playoff with their schedule because they can lose the next two and still theoretically win their next four. Behind them, I think it's A&M. Here's what I would say to A&M fans that are getting a little bit overly confident when it comes to the LSU game. LSU is 22-3 or 23-2, one of those two, at night in Death Valley under Brian Kelly.
Easy.
They I understand they won last year. I get that. But your last trips to Baton Rouge, I'm looking at it right now. You have lost 6 in a row. You've lost 7 in a row. 7 in a row since you have come to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, but that was under Jimbo.
1, 2, 3, 4. I'm dumb. I'm bad at math. 6 in a row. 6 in a row since you've been to Baton Rouge.
Wait, is it 6, 7, or 8 or 9?
24, 12, 24, 43, 3, and 12. You had one game that you lost by less than 12 points. You and everyone else here knows what A&M does every year. Every year. I would not get super, super vocal and super ahead of my skis if I'm an A&M fan. Because if you listen, y'all were 7-1 last year when you went to South Carolina and got your fucking ass beat by 24. So going into as difficult of a place to play, you can sit here and say LSU doesn't have an offense all you want. Fine. Okay. Don't let them find it with all the talent on that roster and offense against your team. Because I watched that defense the first couple weeks. You know who doesn't have an offense? Auburn. You know who hasn't had an offense for most of the year? Florida. Those are the teams you just beat. But I mean, listen, beat your chest now. I don't think A&M walks out of Baton Rouge with a win at all.
Yeah, so you should lower that number then, just like I am. Hey, shout out Cousin Rick, the best Aggie out there. We appreciate you, buddy.
It's Texas A&M's biggest fan.
Thanks, Rick.
Cousin Rick. Gig'em, Aggies.
Aggies are looking forward to Arkansas. Beat the hell out of LSU. He'll be there. That gives him a fighting shot in my book. But, yeah, I mean, that's going to be that'll be a hell of a game. But you said, hey, all the mean stuff you said about them undefeated Aggies. Hell, you said they were probably the best team in the conference. No one will hear that part.
No, of course not. That's a good one, Fire Marshal Bill. LSU has got as much chance of finding their offense as Marler has to stop being gay.
Okay. Hell yeah, I like this Bill guy.
Fire Marshal Bill.
That's a straight name right there. All right, what's the best game this weekend? Best game this weekend in the conference, you think? I mean, hell, all these games are awesome. They're not a damn non-conference on the slate.
Best one of the weekend, I think it's Alabama-Tennessee. That LSU-Vandy game is going to be good. Hey, listen, I don't know. Like, Mississippi State being a 9.5-point underdog coming off a bye week, I kind of like that too.
Right.
If I'm betting on anything, I'm fucking hammering Texas and Kentucky. Like, I'm hammering Texas. But yeah, I think. Wait,
you think Texas can handle Kroger?
Dude, nobody.
You think Texas can handle Kroger 2 weeks to prepare?
There used to be a Kroger in Atlanta called the Murder Kroger. So unless they're going there, I don't think it's going to be a problem. I lived right next to it. It was fantastic. Shout out Murder Kroger on Ponce. Anyway, no, I think that Ole Miss Georgia game will be interesting. It depends on which Ole Miss team shows up. That was odd to watch them come out of the bye week and look like the way they did. Best game of the week, I think, is going to be Alabama and Tennessee. Because here's the thing, too. Bama's been really good. They haven't been in a situation where, like they went down by 7 early to Vandy. They went down against Mizzou. I know with Vandy, they got that turnover inside the 10-yard line, which kind of turned things around for them. And then Mizzou, I forgot how, they were able to get some stops on them. But, like, this is a much – no one else runs this type of offense. And that game was close last year for Tennessee and against Kalen DeBoer in year one. But if Nico hits any of those deep balls – and you don't give them 3 interceptions in the first half, like, they probably walk away with that game. This is a massive game for Alabama because you want to talk about narratives, Mike. I sat there and gave you so much shit for so long because it had 16 straight losses. If you lose this game, you're staring down that fucking orange tee if you're a Bama fan saying, oh, my God, we've lost 3 of the last 4 to this team.
Which I would be in favor of.
I'm sure you would.
Now, how about, I kind of already asked you this, but bigger game for both teams simply in regards of how the rest of the season will go. And I'm looking at 2, LSU at Vanderbilt and Missouri at Auburn. If you had to pick one that's bigger for both, I don't know if that question makes any sense, but can you try to tackle it?
If Auburn loses at home, they should not be favored in that game. That's fucking stupid. If they lose that game, they are like if they win the game, what's the feeling?
If they win it, they might go on a little run here. Arkansas, Kentucky,
there.
Mercer. Maybe it saves the season.
if they lose, I don't see them losing to Arkansas or Kentucky, right? So it's like there's that side of it. Vandy's gonna be interesting because like Vandy
Pavia owns their ass.
He does. Mercer, listen, Mercer was number 8 in the country last year at the Division II level, or not Division II, FCS level. Shout out Macon, Georgia.
Let me ask you this way. Let's say they lose to Missouri, beat Arkansas, beat Kentucky, lose to Vanderbilt, beat Mercer, lose to Bama. With that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 6, is Hugh Freeze back?
No, I think at this point he has to go 7-5. And you also have to avoid streaks, I think, at this point. Like you need to win this game if you're Auburn. But I just don't think from a fan base, I'm looking at it from a fan base perspective, like not necessarily the team. How much more excited is the fan base going to get? Like, oh, good, we beat Mizzou. Because I'm not sure if Auburn fans take Mizzou seriously, even though they should. Because no one seems to take Mizzou seriously, which is so fucking dumb. But I think the of the two games, I talked to a couple people about this today. Marler's never had an original thought. Bro, fuck you. First off, my entire career has been based off of my personality, you dumb idiot. You have any idea how difficult it is to do with this personality? An original thought? You're watching me.
Oh, wait. I thought you were going to say with that face, but that's holding you back, too.
The face makes it way worse. The face makes it way worse. Anyway, catch all my original thoughts later this week on Fine Bob and Sirius XM, dick. This little lynch mob of angry people in the YouTube comment section is hilarious. Anyway, I talked to a couple people at the LSU presser today, and somebody brought the fact that it was like this. If you lose this game for LSU, you have no confidence. There's no part of you. Bring up the schedule. There's no confidence. Thank you. There's no confidence that you're going to finish the season on a run where you can get to a playoff. The quote I had was, it was that you are like you are done. Like the season is over because what part of you is going to get through A&M, then Bama, and then Oklahoma? I don't think that's unfair. I think if you okay.
Get real jab.
If you lose this game, there's still a very real perception from teams like Missouri and that fan base, especially where, they thought that a loss at Ole Miss was inexcusable. A loss to Vanderbilt, no matter how good this program is right now under Clark Lea and with Diego Pavia, it would be inexcusable. So I think that the unrest that'll come from that is that they will be very, very unruly and upset. And then you start talking about the Brian Kelly stuff.
And how about for Vanderbilt? I know they get constantly disrespected.
He asked me the fucking question about LSU and Vanderbilt. You know that always comes back to my LSU father?
But if they can, if this is a team good enough of beating a top five-ish NIL, or whatever LSU is, I think they'll have confidence. They probably should have beat Missouri last year. Hell, they played with Texas. We know they can beat Auburn. We know they can beat Kentucky. I'm not saying they're going to win out. That'd be crazy. But if you could beat LSU, I think you're capable of playing with all these teams.
I agree. And I think that like after that, if you beat LSU, the game on the schedule that looks probably the most difficult is Tennessee, because you get Mizzou at home, which isn't like a crazy, It's not like a crazy home field advantage necessarily, but it has gotten better at least. That Texas game, do you feel better about playing Texas this year or last if you're Vandy, whether it's home or on the road?
I'd rather play this year's Texas. They're still a very flawed team.
Right, and you beat them. You lost them by 3 last year, with a worse version of your team, I think, and also a much better version of that Texas team. So, listen, I think it's time that everyone collectively just stops telling Vanderbilt what they can't do. Because that is like they have been.
Look at that. You could be locked on Aggie too. There you go.
Marler's blood type is Chick-fil-A dog.
That's weird, but kind of funny. Yeah. I don't totally get it. Are you eating Chick-fil-A every day or something?
Yeah. No,
it's just I get it, but. Yeah,
that's good. Anyway, cane sauce would have been better because the whole LSU thing that I keep going back to is LSU's my daddy.
Right.
I think that where this program is now, people still are kind of sleeping on Vandy. I don't know if they beat Bama, if people would have been. I mean, the national media would have had a field day with it because they would have made them.
It would have just been Bama can't beat Vandy. What's wrong with Bama? We got to fire DeBoer. That's all it would have been.
It's very similar to Mizzou in terms of like the lack of respect that they get no matter what. And so I'm with you, man. I think this is again the scariest part of this whole game for LSU is Vegas opened the line at what they opened it at, and they are begging people to take LSU with that line.
And hey, maybe I'm completely overlooking this one. Same deal, bigger for both teams.
Yeah.
We've already kind of hit on it a little, but Oklahoma, Carolina, you can't get on your Cocktober run if you don't get the first one. And Oklahoma, if you lose this one, God, yeah, you legitimately may not go to a bowl game if you don't beat Carolina.
I don't think you're wrong when you say that. I don't think that'll happen,
but it could happen. Oh.
But that back half is very, very difficult. Of course, they have a fucking bye for Bama. Who doesn't this year? Jesus Christ. No, I don't know, man. I think that Oklahoma is still a good team, and Mateer makes them good. But like, I think we put a lot of stock in that stock, and they beat Auburn and they beat Michigan, and that Michigan team kind of sucks. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're that great. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe we just got a little bit ahead of ourselves with that.
Chase is calling it. The Cox beat OU.
Again, the line opening at 4.5 tells you a ton. It tells you a ton. Did I get banned in the comments? What did he say?
And then what if I'm not going to hold you to this because it's Monday. Yeah. But can you predict one outright upset? Well, again, you reserve the right to change your opinion as the week goes on.
Mizzou.
But Mizzou?
Mizzou is an underdog, man. Like, that is – I think that's the easiest one. And then the other one I feel like I want to say it's South Carolina, but we see – dude, here's the other part, too, with South Carolina. Like, Oklahoma's defense is really good. Last year in that game, South Carolina put them away in the first 6 minutes. They had three touchdowns. I think two of them – they had, like, a pick on the first play – pick six, and they had like the fumble return, and then they scored another touchdown strip, 21-0 with 9 minutes left in the first. They also got 9 sacks in that game, and everyone talked about that a bunch. What they didn't talk about is they had 7. Okay, I like that. 7, what do you call it? Sacks that they allowed. That offensive line, I don't know how much healthier they're going to get with Hay and Henry still trying to like nurse through injuries. But Marquis Anderson was out last weekend, and now you talk about Surratt, who also went down. You had 4 starters that were out on this offensive line by the second half of that game against LSU. The one that you have left is Josiah Thompson, who was a former 5-star, and he's been your worst performing one. Mike, it has been so bad with the attrition down here for South Carolina. I made the joke on Saturday in the press box. I was like, now Shedrick Surratt's out. He's being helped off the field. He's probably gone for the day. At this point, they might need Chloe Kitts to come play guard for them, the female basketball player. I wake up this morning on Instagram. She tore her ACL, and she's out for her senior season. So it has just been awful, dude. It's been awful.
Mm. Limp Cox over there. Hey, all right. So any other thoughts on the weekend that was or the weekend ahead?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I said a lot of positive things about A&M, but I will never do that again, for sure. So, I don't know, man. I think the Mizzou-Auburn game is interesting. I think that's everyone talked about how that win for Missouri last week was the biggest win of their program. But I think, honestly, it's this week. I think if you lose that game, then you feel like you have lost a lot of potential – not just room for optimism, but like where the ceiling for this team was, it just gets so significantly lower. And then if you lose to Auburn, now all the talk that we have done about like, hey, you guys need to take Mizzou seriously. They're a really good team. Like, you know, here's all the, like, not even talking about the stuff just on the field, but off the field, the commitment to building the facilities and all that kind of stuff, and the stadium renovation and the NIL. They were at the forefront of all the NIL stuff. And if that happens, then, you know, all the dumb low-hanging fruit bullshit cliches that fans have said about them kind of becomes a little bit more true if you lose a game like that. They need to prove that they are in the tier of teams where they go win games they're supposed to win against lesser competition. And right now, Auburn is lesser competition for them.
Yeah, and they are the most sensitive about their schedule, but it'll be valid if they're losing.
Right.
Their first road. They're the only team in the conference that hadn't played a road game. It's October
13th, dude. I mean, that is unbelievable.
You know, to be fair, let me know if you agree with this or not. Ranking the difficulty of their road games, I would probably put Auburn third. Would you disagree with that?
It's at night. It's at night, which is, I mean, like, and Auburn fans aren't going to give up. They'll still show up no matter what. So that place will be electric.
Bring back Cadillac. No, dude, I'm sorry.
I was there for that, and it was awesome. I was on the sidelines for that. It was insane. I'll also tell you this, man. One of the most, like, I think it's one of the truest things I've heard, and Allie said it. Geez Louise, if you dress up as me, I want to see it.
Hey, how about this, Geez? If you do it, we'll have you on the show.
Yes, I like that. I like that.
And then Marler can be in the comments talking shit for an hour.
For real, dude. And I would love that opportunity. Well, Chris, why are you late to the show? Why the fuck would I be early for it? I think the one part, too, about Auburn, Allie said this to me the other day. And she said, we have this, like, incredible home atmosphere. Like, Jordan Hare is unbelievable. And it's almost like a complete fucking waste because you can't win games there. It's like, well, you have arguably like the swag surfing thing and the cam thing this past weekend, especially, but like every week that place is electric and you finally get a home game and it's like, you just go out of your way to find ways to lose. And that sucks, man.
Well, have no fear, Auburn fans. John Summerall is coming to save your ass.
That's a good move.
You're going to be a playoff contender next year as soon as you hire him. All right, Chris, really appreciate your time. Before you go, remind the cousins where they can follow you and find your work.
Go fuck yourselves, cousins. See you next week.
Perfect. Bye-bye.
Love you guys.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.